This is the HopeCast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Well, welcome to another edition of Movie Torture. I'm Roger, one of the hosts, and we are officially in Brad's favorite month of the year, October.
We're rolling along. I love scary movies, Roger.
Yeah.
On a scale of enjoyment, where do scary movies rank? 10 being the best, 1 being the worst to you?
0.5.
Yeah, you are not You are not a scary movie fan.
I was back in the 80s. I was all into Freddy Krueger and what's his name? Friday the 13th, Jason
Voorhees.
Yeah.
But it'd be funny if he said Freddy Cougar just because he didn't know. Freddy Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah. playing the
Ain't that Elm Street instead of America.
Jack and Diane.
I was killing Jack and Diane in the dreams, of course, because my name is Freddy Cougar Mellencamp.
I came here today just for that.
I mean, that voice is, she's back. The first lady of Movie Torture, Hannah, is here.
What's up?
Brad's dad is excited.
Yeah, he does enjoy. That's his fan. He likes her and producer
Hannah
Gary.
And Gary are here today.
He would probably listen to a podcast of just them two. We doesn't even need us on here. And just fire us.
We're the straight men in that, you know.
We did learn something.
Wait, wait.
No. Comedy straight men. Sorry.
Ladies, producer Gary is into chicks. We're not.
Sorry, I used a non-Gen Z.
We're the straight men of the podcast. We did learn something fascinating about Hannah, that she watched Ghostbusters twice.
I forgot
the first. In preparation for the podcast.
Yeah. I forgot the first time. I needed to be fresh for the podcast.
I would rather my son hit me in the nuts with a golf club. Then watch that movie again. I would take the pain for 30 seconds.
Which son are we talking? Yeah.
Max. I would let Max. Not Gabby.
Not Gabby.
Gabby's too big. He would probably murder me. Yeah. And that voice you hear, that's producer Gary. He is here. And he is very happy to be here.
Yeah, he's just got such a big smile.
He does. He is wearing, you know, Gary likes to come. He's got his Hawaiian shirt on again. And his ghost face mask tonight. He's wearing a ghost face mask while he sits here.
No, I actually.
Is that the name of him?
That's the name of the mask.
Bro, I literally, in all my notes, I called him Stabby because I didn't know he had a name.
Oh, Stabby is so cute. Isn't Stabby cute?
Well, you know, I grew up with, I had one when I was a kid, a mask.
I'm not surprised.
Well,
at all.
And that's like before it was in the Scream movie. That was just a Halloween mask. It was a thing before it was
really?
In the movie. Yeah, that's where they got it.
Oh,
I thought they made it for the movie.
No, not from well, what I found.
Take your mask off and enjoy the podcast, producer Gary.
Probably be able to hear me better.
Anyway. and just to let the listeners know, you can probably hear Gary's voice in this podcast this month twice as much as you hear mine, because Gary and Brad are horror aficionados. So sometimes their discussions get into like, you know, oh, the producer so-and-so was, you know, done three of these movies. And, you know, it's like, you know, a hard nerd alert comes on.
They got all the facts.
Yeah. I mean, it might be an alert, but I don't know about nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only nerd in this room is Gary.
What the heck, Brad?
Because Roger and I are the straight men in this podcast. That was funny.
I don't feel like non-straight men are normally nerds, though.
No, they're not.
No.
They're not. Scream 3. Roger, you got any research on this movie, or did you just abandon that job?
No, I did do the research.
You didn't get scared researching Scream 3. This movie's anything but scary, by the way.
This movie was released February 4th, 2000. The budget was $40 million, and the box office was $161.8 million.
What? What did they spend $40 million on first off?
How did they make 161?
What is $40 million?
It was probably the cast. I mean,
this was 1999 when they made the movie, because the movie came out February 2000. I'm looking. Keep talking, Roger.
I mean, there's a ton. The cast is full of people that, you know, of course, have been in the Scream movies, the brand, as they would say. I didn't see Liev Schreiber. That's one of my favorite actors was in it. The voice of the NFL as well.
$73 million in today's money is what they spent to make this movie in 1999.
I think a lot of it had to go to make the voice changer.
It was a great voice changer.
That was
real?
Good technology for a 2000.
And I think this was the only Scream movie where they used, I want to say, in all the other Scream movies, it's the same, hello, hello. What's her name? What's Neve Campbell's name in this movie?
Sydney.
Oh.
Hello, Sydney. That's the voice.
So is it the same guy? And I haven't seen the first two. Is it the same?
Yes, yeah, same voice in every movie. No, it's a different character. It's a different bad guy in every movie.
Okay.
Same voice. But in this movie, instead of going, hello, Sydney, he can actually do your voice.
Yeah.
So it's like, it'd be like producer Gary talking to me, but it's really Ghostface about the murder.
Yeah.
Really weird. $73 million there, Roger. That's bonkers to me.
Yeah, but it had quite the cast. I mean, so that's probably where most of the budget. Spoiler alert, I did not watch this movie just because I didn't have the time to get into it. So
he didn't have the drive to watch Scream.
Yeah, after watching Cursed, I couldn't do another horror movie back to back. So
why don't you like horror movies? Is it because they scare you or?
No, I mean, I think.
Good question.
I think like the thrill, you know, like when I was a teenager and, you know, young adult, I liked the scary stuff. I mean, number one, when you're a single guy, you love scary movies because that usually helps out in the, you know, in the dating process. You know, I hated haunted houses, but I would go to a haunted house if it meant I was going to get clutched and grabbed on the whole time.
See, I tried that with my brother and it didn't work. We went to the first haunted house I ever went to. Just listen. The first haunted house I ever went to. I hate anything horror, scary, cannot stand it. But we went in this haunted house. My brother was in front of me, and I couldn't keep my eyes open. So I wrapped my arms around his waist, buried my head in his back, and that is how I walked through the entire thing. And afterwards, he was like, you are never getting near me in a haunted house ever again.
And then a dude walked in the haunted house with a pillow.
A pillow. Oh.
I'm bringing back an old Hannah story. And that was the real horror of the horror house, of the haunted house.
If I saw someone doing that, and I'd be like, you have mental issues. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I'm be careful.
What's the scariest movie you ever watched, Roger?
I don't know. I'd have to see a list of movies and then say, yeah, that was the scary. Nothing really comes to my mind. Mm. Top of my head, but I mean, you know, I watched the initial Scream movie. I may have saw two, but it was probably so bad I don't remember it.
Two was not bad. That's Jada Pinkett Smith dying in the beginning. It was not bad.
I think I may have seen that one, or at least a lot of clips from it. But yeah, like I said, I grew up with the Friday 13th and all that stuff, and just at a certain point, I was just like, eh, I'm just tired. I mean, just didn't thrill me.
I love the.
What's
thrill.
The scariest one you've ever watched, Brad?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I would say. Paranormal Activity was scary.
Yeah.
Only because I was dating my future wife. I went home that night by myself after watching this movie. And I was in my house, and I was laying down, and my golf clubs fell over in another room.
Nope.
Just like a
big
loud boom.
Nope.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. This was like hours after watching Paranormal Activity. So I was freaked out.
Nope.
Turned the lights on, went to sleep.
Yeah. I'd say mine was probably like The Conjuring. I thought The Conjuring was scary.
Yeah.
All those kind of like demon.
Yeah, more Paranormal Activity and
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Don't do those.
Yeah.
Those are kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. What about you, Hannah?
I don't like any of them with Paranormal Activity. They really freak me out. But the worst ones that I remember, it's probably a tie between Annabelle and It.
New It or the old It?
The new one.
Okay.
So Annabelle freaked me out because I used to have a glass case in my bedroom full of glass dolls. My dad used to travel and he would bring me home glass dolls as souvenirs. After watching Annabelle, they went in a box and went in store. It was like, I'm not sleeping with these beside my bed anymore. But then with It, we watched that at a drive-in theater. I got home late at night. At that time, our house was completely surrounded by woods. Got home, and I had left my key inside the house. Everyone was asleep, so I couldn't get in. I was knocking on the windows, knocking on the door. Couldn't get in, so I had to sleep in my car.
Oh my God.
Surrounded
by
woods.
They couldn't hear the knocks.
After watching It, and all I could picture was the one scene where the clown pulls the arm out of his mouth and waves with it. I was like, if I see anything out in these woods.
See, I didn't think it was that scary.
I don't like clowns. I cannot stand clowns. That's like the most terrifying. No, I wouldn't have watched it.
Nope, nobody. Does anybody like clowns?
There's a really good movie called Clown. And I watched
it. Sounds horrible.
Blumhouse Trent recommended this movie to me, and I watched it. And basically, he turns into a clown. Like, he can't, like, get the... It can't all...
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, and he, like, starts killing his family and stuff.
Yeah. That's... Yeah. Why?
Yeah, I love to watch reactions of people who are scared of clowns when a clown shows up. It's pretty... Pretty awesome.
But what Hannah doesn't know is Gary's side hustle is a clown. He's a party clown. No. So he does do that at parties. He dresses up as
That's
a clown.
That's terrifying.
Like, not like a John yeah, he puts Gacy on his, one though, right?
Like, Gary puts on his Brad suit and, you know, then turns into a clown.
Yeah.
All right, so.
You want the synopsis?
Well, before that, what's the most like scariest thing that's happened? Was the golf club thing like the scariest thing that ever happened to you?
Oh my gosh.
I think everything's scarier after you've watched something that's like
Well, yes.
Freaky
out. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
So I used to watch mine at a buddy's house and then
That's smart, Gary.
And then I drove home.
Oh, that's not smart.
Like, afterwards, so like you know, the very first one I watched was Halloween, and Michael Myers' thing was, you know, he'd pop up behind you. So, like, driving home after that was kind of freaky because I kept checking the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, as you watch them, I think they get less
You become effective. Desensitized.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, usually driving home after watching any of them was kind of freaky.
Yeah.
We used to, okay, this, I'm aging myself, but. There used to be a theater, a two-screen theater on Freedom Drive in Charlotte, and right next door to it was a Pizza Hut. And it was one of those Pizza Huts where the parking lot, like, you could park all the way up, like, right against the building. So there were no, like, foliages or anything, so you could literally walk right up to the windows. So they would show Friday the 13th, and that same weekend after we'd watch it, you know, me and a buddy would put on a hockey mask. Mm-hmm. And then just come right and then just
oh my gosh.
Jump in the window. And the best reaction we ever got was a table full of girls. And the next thing you know, the table elevates because they all jump at the same time. And you see in slow motion, you see pictures of Mountain Dew and Coke go up in the air and then hit the table. And, you know, and this, of course, we had to take off because they made a huge mess. It was quite, but it was just that those were. That's when I enjoyed the scary stuff, was being able to scare other people. So. Yeah.
I like scaring other people. I used to dress up. I would wear this black dress with white tights and red Converse. And then I put on this wig. It was like red hair and braided. And then I put on really scary doll makeup. I'd go in my brother's room with all the lights off. And I'd sit there and I'd hold a teddy bear and just wait for him to walk in the room.
That's mean.
It's fun. Listen, have you ever driven around in a car with a mask on and you're sitting there to light and you just turn and look at somebody? Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I should try that.
No,
it's so much fun.
That. No, I want to do that though.
I mean, make sure you can see, obviously, if you're the one driving. But.
Oh my gosh.
I got plans this Halloween now. Sweet. Like, just driving around staring.
We should do that, Gary. Let's cruise around.
So, Brad, why don't you hit us with your 1 minute plot line here?
Okay, basically this movie, oh my gosh, it's so hard to quantify. Like it's a movie where they're making Stab 3, but they're really making Scream 3 because we're watching it. So the characters from Stab 3 hang out with their characters from Scream 3, the real Scream, and there's a killer, and he goes slashing and dashing, and at the end, they kill him. It's so hard to really, it's like, This is such a dumb movie.
Yeah. It's not even a series of unfortunate events. It's just a series of stupid decisions.
It is so dumb. So, listeners, that's basically the synopsis of this movie. They should call this Dumb 3 because it's very dumb. And I got a full confession. I saw this in the movie theater.
Oh. You've seen all of these movies. Yeah, a lot. You've wasted a lot of time.
I have, man.
Watching horrible things.
I went and saw this movie in the theater. I was so excited because it had been 3 years since Scream 2. So I was like, this is going to happen. And I went there and I was like, is this a real movie? Because Jay and Silent Bob are in this movie. And I was like, I don't even think they take this movie seriously, right? Like, they threw Jay and Silent Bob in this movie. Why are they in this movie?
Comedic effect. Right?
Why are Jay and Silent Bob taking a tour at Warner Brothers or wherever to see Stab 3 production?
I don't know. Just that time frame, they tended to pop up in a ton of different movies.
Oh, they were huge in that time frame. But again, if you're making a legit horror movie, you don't throw Jay and Silent Bob in it just to be, you know, studio like. We just happen to believe they left Clerks and now they're just out in California touring the movie studio and they're just making Stab 3 at this point.
So was Scott Foley the Roman, was that the killer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is the only Scream where there's only one killer. Usually there's two. So we are to believe Scott Foley is everywhere killing all the time. You got to have two, man. You can't be everywhere. This movie starts out with Cotton. Now, if you are a...
Can't stand that guy.
If you are a Scream fan, you know Cotton. Who's a bigger tool bag? Cotton or Jake Kingman from Game Plan? Because they're both tool bags.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Hannah hasn't seen that. Roger, you didn't
see Jake Kingman?
Isn't that his name? What was it?
Joe
Kingman. Joe. I don't even know his name. Like, Cotton's all about some Cotton. I think he was going to cheat on his girlfriend with the girl on the phone.
Yeah, he probably would have. I was so angry in that first scene. I was like, you know what? You deserve to be a target. I hope you die.
But smartest guy in the movie, because he's like, you know what? Kill me early. I don't have to be in this movie anymore. I want out of this dumb franchise. Like, please kill me now. And that's the problem with this movie. All these people need to die. There are no stakes for the what do they call them? The legend actors, the
victims.
No, what? The ones that's been in, like, Courtney Cox, David. Oh, yeah. There's the no stakes for the originals because they're not going to die.
Yeah, they should have killed David Arquette in the first one.
Yeah, they should have. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
David Arquette is one of the most hated men. Like, all right. I'm going to go into my wrestling geek form here.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
So David Arquette, during the heydays or the time, actually it was the time, you know, when the Monday Night Wars were going on with WCW and WWE, they brought him in to do a cross promotion for that stupid movie he did, the wrestling movie. I can't even think of the name of it. But they ended up scripting him to win the championship, the title belt. And see, I talk wrestling, and all three of my castmates here are on their phones right now.
Listening very intently, might I add.
We're
fact-checking you.
It's like I'm at a public school right now.
Roger, are you ready to rumble?
Yeah, ready to rumble.
Ready to rumble. Future movie torture pod, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have to have that horrible one. But and Producer Andy, will you watch that movie with us, Ready to Rumble?
No.
She's like... Sure.
WCW actually ended up giving David Arquette the title, which for wrestling fans was like the worst thing in the world. I mean, because like there's, you know, that's like a respected thing amongst the wrestling geeks is that you never put like a, you know, a spot character, like, you know, somebody from the outside of the wrestling world give them a title like that. So if you go like to a wrestling event, you throw out the name of David Arquette, you will just get the death stares because they hate him.
But he's such a funny actor.
Because they feel like he like for that time period, like he, which was one of the best times for wrestling fans, like he killed it. I mean, he literally killed the WCW. He was one of the reasons why that whole thing just fell, because for a while they were competing with WWE because of the whole Hogan thing and NWO. But he came, he got written into some storylines for that stupid movie, and that was the end of WCW. And that's when McMahon ended up buying it. And so, yeah. So David Arquette has a hate group, you know, for him. So.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I want to say.
I like David Arquette in Eight-Legged Freaks. Great movie.
What
about
is that?
Spiders. Giant spiders.
Absolutely not. Ew.
Max and I watched that movie.
I want to say, it doesn't, just based on the pictures I can find, he doesn't look like he aged very well.
Mm. Nah.
Not great.
Okay, so Cotton, what was you going
to
add?
And to today, he still shows up at some wrestling shows as a wrestler. And literally, he is booed from the second he walks out from behind the curtains.
Man.
He is hated. Wrestling fans hate him. He like.
Can you separate your hatred for David Arquette wrestling to like him in Scream? Because honestly, he is the best part of the movies.
All of the movies or just this one?
All of them. He's good in all of them. You root for Dewey.
I didn't like him when this movie, and I haven't seen any of the other ones, but I did not like him when this first opened up. I was like, he's kind of a jerk. But then he had this
A creepy mustache in this movie.
But that's back now, so you can't. Yes. Have you?
My wife will not let me mustache.
You shouldn't.
Back, why can't I mustache, Hannah?
just because that it's back Hannah's doesn't mean that everyone saying, should do
Brad,
it.
You're not cool. Brad, you're not
Are you
cool.
saying I can't pull a stash off? Or
I'm saying you shouldn't.
Don't model it after Dewey. Just don't do it.
We should all grow stashes on the movie podcast.
I disagree with that.
Even Hannah. Yeah.
I'll come back next time with one of those stick-on mustaches and record the whole podcast.
Yeah, are we gonna?
That would be hilarious.
Are we gonna do No Shave November or something? Oh, is that what you're suggesting?
Gary, producer Gary can shave the few hairs that grow on his face off.
That is mean. He has a full beard.
He hasn't hit puberty yet.
Yeah. Well. I mean, I still got longer than you. Like,
true,
you didn't make it yet.
Longer what?
Didn't go well, did it?
Your comeback was epically bad.
I tried.
Okay, so back to the movie. So Cotton is like, you know what? I don't want to be in this movie anymore. Please kill me. So we see Cotton in his what looked like a Miami Vice suit show up.
The suit was bad.
And get murdered. And you're like, bye bye, Cotton. Then we jump to Hollywood, and they're making Stab 3, but we learn that Sydney is now, a suicide hotline person?
I don't think it's just suicide. I think it's just troubled girls.
She's the last person I want advice from because she is so depressing. Her character is such a snooze. I hate her in these movies.
Her TV show was the same. Party of Five. She was the same way.
I don't know who is worse.
Hannah just gave a what was Party of Five?
Yeah, she didn't know that one. That's a new Netflix show about what it would be. I don't know who's worse, her or Courtney Cox.
Okay, can we talk about Courtney Cox's haircut?
As
soon as she came on the scene, I googled horrible bangs haircuts because I was just going down a rabbit trail. I found a website that rated the top 40 worst bangs moments in movies. She's in the top 10. And
for
if you
movie?
Haven't, yes, from this movie, she was beaten.
I hate to interrupt what you're doing now, but something very important I need to let you know about. When you purchase Generous Coffee Beans, we want you to try to enjoy each brew for two reasons. Number one, because you're a part of something bigger, making a positive impact around the world. And number two, because we did not compromise on the quality of coffee. You're drinking some of the best coffee in the world. 100% of profits are donated to nonprofits that are fighting injustice facing humans around the world. Wow, that's powerful. Generous is best known for its specialty coffee, but the heartbeat of Generous is their hope to use for profit business for good. In 2024, Generous is hoping to provide coffee to churches around the U.S. to spread a message within congregations that churches care about people, even down to the coffee they are serving and the people they enjoy. I apologize for that extremely long run-on sentence. If you have interest in hearing more about Generous Coffee, please reach out to their founder, Ben Higgins, at benhiggins@generousmovement.com. Thank you, and back to our scheduled podcast.
By Spock from Star Trek. He was rated higher for his bangs than she was in this movie.
Wow. Wait, so his bangs are better than hers?
Yeah.
She made $7 million to be in this movie.
Was
by
this
the way.
Was this the start of her plastic surgery?
No, I was gonna bring that. This is the death of her normal face. This was the last movie that I can remember ever seeing her in where she was pretty, and then she ruined her face after this.
Yeah,
because the new Scream, she's unattractive.
So I've only ever seen her in Friends. It's the only thing of her that I've.
I think after Friends, like it was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, Google her now and look at her face.
I mean, I've seen her now. It's all like pulled back and
She looked pretty in this movie, other than the bangs.
You think? Do you think people told her like something was wrong and they couldn't figure out what it was and it was the bangs? But she was like, "I'm gonna go get facial reconstruction surgery.
I'm gonna pull my eyes back."
You took that a little too far. We just need a new haircut, like
little nip, little tuck.
You would think after Meg Ryan's fiasco with the plastic surgery, that these actresses would stay away from it, but
I don't understand it. Yeah. So she made $7 million for this movie, though. That's a lot.
Yep, that's
back then, but because she was making that that Friends money too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neve Campbell made $4 million for Scream 3, but she only worked 20 days. She was making Party of Five, I think. I read, and she was making Drowning Mona, which I saw in the movie theater, by the way. And
of course she did.
And she made $4 million. Now, if you're Neve Campbell, are you upset you're making less than Courtney Cox? Because Neve Campbell's the star of the movie, right?
Well, she sucked, but also I'd just be happy to work 20 days and get $4 million.
That's a lot, yeah. That's a lot. She does suck. And there's a problem with every Scream movie, and it's Neve Campbell. Mm-hmm. I think producer Gary and I went and saw Scream 6 in the theater this year. Mm-hmm. Best part about Scream 6, there's no Neve Campbell. Mm-hmm. She's not in the movie, and it's a great thing. Now, I want them to kill Gail Weathers. I hope she's dead. Yes. It left it. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Scream 6, you can skip forward a little bit on here. It left it you don't know if she's dead or not. I hope she's dead. They need to kill all the originals and be done with them. Dewey's dead.
Yeah.
Dewey died in 5.
He is? Oh.
He died in 5.
That makes me kind of sad.
Gail and Neve Campbell, only ones left. And
why does she make it to the end? She just has no person. She reminds me a little bit of Kristen Stewart. Just the same face all the time and making stupid decisions.
Do you think they put, like, they left her in because they want us to want them to kill her? And then, like, when they make Scream 7 or 8 or whatever, and they're like,
are they going to do more?
Dead? Is she dead?
So I had an interesting... Yeah, they're making another one, of course. Ugh. I had an interesting Scream pitch for a movie.
Oh, boy.
And I've told this producer, Gary's probably forgot this point. They should make a Scream movie because they're all the same formula, right? Mm-hmm. There's two people normally. You don't know who they are. They're murdering because they're mad about something.
Okay.
We should get a Scream movie where we know who the killers are immediately. And we're following them. We're seeing how they are doing their kills. Mm. Because a lot of times we're like, how can this person be in the subway at this point?
Mm-hmm.
We would know now. We're getting the first person viewpoint from the killers on why they kill and how they're making it work.
We would end up siding with the killers.
We would, because I'd be like, please murder Gail. But more interesting movie, right? Because it's the same formula every time. Change the formula up, and let's see the killer's point of view. Why does the killer want to kill Sydney?
I kind of like that. Like, I I think that might be a good idea. It kind of makes me think of, I don't know, I had something. Like, well, and you could do shots like they did in at the beginning of the first Halloween movie when they're like, he puts on the mask and it's like, I like, yes. I love that. Everybody loves that scene. That's a great scene.
Great scene.
A great start to a movie is that, you know, someone puts on the mask, you don't know who it is, and then don't know what they're going to do after that.
I think they're scared to try it because they like their formula mm-hmm. of you're guessing the whole movie and you're at the end, it's a Scooby-Doo, right? Oh mm-hmm. my gosh, it's Scott Foley. He's the murderer. How did this happen?
I was a little shook when he took the mask off.
Yeah, he's like the director, right? How's a director doing all this killing? But Scream, you know, Scream 6, I will say best scene in Scream 6 by mile was the convenience store scene.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They're hiding in the convenience store. Ghostface comes in there, always has a knife because it's stab, right? This time he's got a shotgun.
Oop.
And he's shooting.
Switching it up.
And they're hiding, and you feel that it's like small.
It's all this tension.
This tension. Yeah. You see his boots. And he's shooting. Like, that was the best scene.
Mm.
And see,
how cool would that scene have been if you were in the Ghostface mind and you're watching him?
I think, oh.
It's kind of like Terminator.
I see what you mean. I think that would have been good. I like that scene, especially because I honestly didn't know they could make guns scary. Like, I always thought.
What? I think guns are
I think
scary.
Having a gun pointed at your face is pretty terrifying.
I know, but I
yeah, mean, Buckshot Brad would say guns are scary.
Gary's like, you can point a gun at me, I'm not scared.
That's not what I meant. I just meant generally, like, the part of the formula for most thrillers, like, it's very up close personal knives or, you know, fingernails or what, like, you
fingernails.
Know. What, Freddy Krueger, whatever.
Oh.
Like
Freddy Cougar Mellencamp.
What? So anyway, yeah, I think that scene was very well done. I like that scene. It was a good scene.
It was a great scene. So back to this movie, we get to see Randy, which since this is the only Scream movie you've ever seen, Randy is probably the best part of Scream. He is like the movie fan, and we saw him on the TV screen. Like, they were watching a video of Randy. Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is good in the... He dies in part two, I think. I think he dies in two. He didn't die in one, did he? Did he die in one?
Oh, what? I think maybe...
Wasn't he the kill... Wasn't
no.
he the killer?
No.
Did Randy's he? Sister
I,
is
I
in...
Thought- I thought maybe he did die in the first one when they were watching the... Did he? I don't know.
We're all confused now. But we get to see Randy.
Yeah.
I'll the one screen character you don't want to be dead, and you're like, I wish he was still here.
Yeah.
But instead they killed him, and you have to go look at Sydney's sad face, talk to depressed people on the phone. I'm like, she's like the number one depressed person.
She is. And again, she just makes stupid decisions. Like, she hears the voices and she goes towards them. She hears weird noises and she locks herself in. Like, I just don't understand.
It was Scream 2. He died in Scream 2.
Yep. Midway point, Scream 2.
Mm.
So.
Randy seemed like a cool. He seemed like he had a good head on his shoulders.
Randy does.
Compared to everyone else.
Hannah, you need to watch Scream and Scream 2. You get to know Randy.
I don't. Okay.
Better movies. This. Okay. There's so much crap in this movie. Parker Posey, I like her. She mm-hmm. was always in my top five back in the early 2000s, late 90s.
She still looks good. She still looks decent.
She played the Gale Weathers role.
Mm-hmm.
I could have seen her being the killer, too, by the way. I think they should have made her the killer.
Yeah.
I
thought it was going to be Kincaid. I thought he was going to be the killer.
Really?
McDreamy. Yeah.
For some reason going to this, I remembered... Oh. Glad you brought that up, by the way. Patrick Dempsey's second appearance on Movie Torture. Can't Buy Me Love was his first one, which I still rank as the best movie we've watched on Movie Torture. And now he's in quite possibly the worst movie we watched on Movie Torture. We'll find out.
Which is so sad because he's, well, I don't know, think he was great in this, but he was good in Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, gosh. So, Hannah, have you ever used a fax machine?
No. I know they exist, and I've been around them, but I've never used one.
They were faxing in this movie.
Yeah.
faxing was big in 2000 because I would have to fax at work when I was in the military. And I would always hate it. Like, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to fax. And you put the number in and go, beep, beep, beep. And then it's like going in and you're thinking, man, why don't we just do email? Because we had email at this point.
Yeah.
But we had to fax stuff.
When I was little, faxing always confused me because I didn't understand how it worked. And I was like, how does the paper get from this machine to a different machine?
How does that work? It is really weird. Nobody,
it's not the actual paper that's put in that comes out at the other machine. It's just...
It prints it on the
prints the information,
paper, right?
But I didn't understand how it worked when I was little.
Do people fax today?
I hope not.
We never had
It's
fax.
Still an option.
Very, very little.
Well, I was just doing my insurance, and they're like, if you can't send it in an email, you can fax us. I'm like, where the heck am I going to get a fax machine?
At Kinko's? Yeah. The house blowing up would have killed everyone, right?
Yeah, that was massive. Also, though, if they did all die, they would have all deserved that, because if there was enough gas poured around... To blow, make that kind of explosion and nobody smelled it, I just think y'all deserve to die.
How could they not smell gas? Because, like, when I'm pumping gas sometimes, I get it on my finger.
Yeah.
I can, like, whiff it and know it's there.
And when did he go pour all that gas? Because they were all in the house.
It's so illogically stupid.
Yeah.
This is just a dumb whodunit. There's Scooby-Doo episodes smarter than this movie. By a mile.
Yeah,
I'm just still a little taken back by Brad admitting that he has issues with huffing. You know, with
huffing, with sniffing gas.
Yeah.
What about Carrie Fisher dropping this movie? I like that. I like her little. You know, I'm not her. Mm-hmm. I didn't have sex with George Lucas. So I didn't get the role. Like, it's so funny how she's basically looks like Princess Leia, but she's not.
Yeah.
And again, best scene. They go down there and they're looking through all the files. That was a nice little scene they could have done more with. Wes Craven, director of this movie. What's your best Wes Craven movie? Or is he before your time, Hannah?
Oh.
I mean, he's before my time. I'd never heard the name before watching this movie. And
Nightmare on Elm Street,
yeah.
84 has to be his best movie.
Definitely.
Of all time.
I would agree with that.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, it has to be. You know, when he created Freddy Cougar Mellencamp, and I'm going to say, from now on, he's Freddy Cougar Mellencamp to me. That was a great story. And, you know, when we're watching that scene down in the basement, the file scene with Carrie Fisher and the two, that's a good Wes Craven scene that would have been good in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Like the creepiness of that, but there's no stakes in these stupid movies. I don't go in this movie thinking any one of them is going to die.
Yeah.
So what's the point? You got to do some murdering. You got to do some slashing. I pay to watch you do some slashing in this movie. That's what I want to see. Roger's all quiet. He's probably checking his scores.
I'm trying to see what other movies he did Red Eye. I like that movie.
Red Eye. See, that's not a good. I don't like that one that much. From what else did he do, Hannah?
There's All the Screams, Music of the Heart. I haven't seen any of these.
That's when he didn't do horror one time. Which
Vampire in Brooklyn.
Terrible.
The People Under the Stars.
Under the Stairs.
Stairs. Yeah.
Okay.
Night Visions. Shocker.
Shocker. Stupid.
The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Never saw it.
Deadly Friend. Case Busters.
Deadly Friend is good. Christy Swanson's in that, right?
Oh, she's looking at the movie titles.
Yeah.
Christy Swanson is in Deadly Friend. I watched that great movie.
She is.
Nightmare on Elm Street. I've at least heard of that one.
That's Freddy Cougar.
Yeah, that's the
And
original.
The Hills Have Eyes.
Huh?
The Hills Have Eyes Part 2.
That's not bad.
I haven't seen that.
What did he do older, newer? You're back in the 70s. What did he do
I'm
in the
just looking 70s. At a list.
80s. Isn't the People Under Stairs in the 70s?
No.
80s. Well.
Or Hills Have Eyes is 70s, right?
Hills Have Eyes is 84.
Okay.
The Stairs is 91.
What's in the 2000s? He came back and did Scream 4. I know that.
Well, he did.
And then he died.
He did a...
he died? I didn't know he was dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh.
Wes Craven, that wasn't even in 2000. I thought Wes Craven...
Because they call Wes Craven the master of horror.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's earned.
Nah, well...
He does a lot of horror movies.
Scream 4 was his last one.
Then he died, yes.
Right.
Terrible movie to go out on, by the way.
Dracula?
Like, well, it would have been prophetic if he would have died in 2010, which, you know, the title of the movie is My Soul to Take.
Oh, that was a terrible movie too. Well, we should do that one on movie torture. We could have a whole Wes Craven month of just bad Wes Craven movies.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That sounds truly torturous.
There's a couple good ones, but there's a lot of, you know, Vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy was stupid.
That is Eddie Murphy.
It's a waste.
The only thing that comes up for 2000 movies is Dracula.
No, he didn't do Dracula. No. Oh, he produced Dracula, I think.
He did Scream 3, Cursed, Red Eye, Paris, Jetain.
Oh, I didn't know he did.
Gary speaking French.
Something in French. I can't read that.
I didn't know he did Swamp Thing back in 82. That was a bad movie.
He's done a lot of bad horror movies, but, you know, give him his credit where credit's due. Scream, probably his best movie of all time, the original Scream from 96.
Wait. You don't think?
That or Nightmare on Elm Street.
I was going to say.
I would go Nightmare on Elm Street.
I'd say Elm Street before. But that, I think that kind of depends on just your style, what you like better.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Breed?
No.
Looks dumb.
Hannah's fallen into the Wes Craven movie trap. Okay,
I wouldn't watch any of these.
Hills Have Eyes wasn't in '70s; it was in '77.
I thought so. So we find out who the killer is. Blah blah blah. He's murdered everyone. Who gives a crap, right? Because I was glad this movie was over. Like, this is a hard 2 hours.
I screamed out loud when he took the mask off because I was not expecting him.
Really?
I think I wrote it in my notes. Yeah, all caps, bro. The reveal.
Bro, the reveal. Roger, did you get any reviews for this movie, or did you go reviewless?
Let me pull up what I've got here. It was kind of mixed reviews. It actually got some positive ones.
Wait, what's the Rotten Tomatoes on this movie?
I'm getting there. Sorry. Scrolling through. Rotten Tomatoes, the film holds an approval rating of 41%.
Wait. 41% for this movie, and Johnny B. Goode is 0.
Yeah.
Johnny B. Goode's way better in this movie.
Well, that was way before Rotten Tomatoes. So that's part of it, probably. You know?
Scream 3 wasn't around Rotten Tomatoes, right? 2000?
I'm not sure when Rotten Tomatoes started.
Anyway.
But I know it wasn't back then. One of the critical responses of the movie said, despite some surprising twists,
Where are the twists?
Scream 3 sees the franchise falling back on the same old horror formulas and cliches it once hacked and slashed with postmodern abandon. So,
if they'd followed the formula I pitched, I think they would make this a really great Scream.
Roger Ebert said that the characters are so thin, they're transparent. But based on you'll like this one, but based on Campbell's appearance, he says the camera loves her. She could become a really big star and then giggle at clips from this movie at her AFI tribute. So
she is not a star. She's just a wet fart just sitting there. She is nothing. She is a horrible actress. I don't like any Neve Campbell. What is one Neve Campbell movie you have watched where you go, man, that is awesome? None of us can think of one.
Nah.
Because it's just not even worth it.
No.
Wait, she was in The Lion King too.
As a voice?
I guess. Well, seven, she wasn't there in real life, so.
they flew her out to Africa.
I have some Amazon reviews. Mark Parrish writes, oh my gosh. I do not want to hang out with Mark Parrish. I just can't. Great movie. One of the best, if not the best movies of that genre.
The whole genre.
Every
he hasn't seen
movie.
Any other ones.
He's going to stop at scary at Scream 3. LGM wrote, one of the better Scream movies. Without giving it away, this storyline plot was actually intriguing.
I mean,
are they trolling us at this point? I watched all the Scream movies in anticipation for the new Scream, and this is one of the best, in my opinion. Mad Collector writes, Scream 3 overlaps the original Scream with fun and thrills. One of the more fun installments in the series, Scream 3 delivers. This one is heavy on comedy and delivers thrills to boot. Parker Posey stands out as I would agree with that. as a dysfunctional Hollywood actress playing the role of Gail Weathers. Look for some unique cameo appearances, i.e., I'm going to think he's meaning Jay and Silent Bob.
Mm.
The plot concerns a murderous mystery which evolves during the shooting of Stab 2 and ropes Sidney, Gale, and Dewey. This guy should be our 40-second. Ropes back into the force. Scream 3 harkens back to the original Scream with the sets of Stab 2 replicating the home of Sidney and Woodsboro and also the one from Scream's finale. He really got in. Could you imagine typing that? Like, you just sit down, you want to just write about this movie. Like, that's torturous. It's awful.
Were any of these actresses involved in the suit against Harvey?
Oh, good question. I don't know. We got to see the Miramax. Because
I know in Curse, they're worse. And another movie we're going to do here in the future.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. That's our next movie, by the way. The first lady of the podcast, Hannah, is going to be back for Cursed, which is what you're going to listen to next week. Glad you brought that up, Roger. Hannah, movie torture, movie goal for this movie?
Oh, this was torture. On multiple levels.
Better or worse than Ghostbusters?
Better.
Really?
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth wasn't in this movie.
Oh.
That is true.
Wait, before...
Old Dewdrop, though, just really did it for me.
Dewdrop.
What'd she say?
She called him Dewdrop.
Oh.
Dewey.
So, before we move to Roger, we do need to say, better or worse with Gary or without Gary in this movie?
I think everything is made better with Gary.
Yeah.
What part could he have played?
That's just, where do I go?
He's got to be someone getting murdered, right?
Yeah.
Like, he could be we always make him a pizza guy in every movie. He could be a pizza guy, like, showing up, and then he just gets slashed. But Ghostface kills people he knows, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Gary's like...
Could have been one of the movie grips, you know, one of the guys doing the camera or something. Like, he could have been a producer. Producer Gary.
Producer, yes, he's a producer.
Yeah.
And he gets slashed.
He can't die. He needs to be like one of the times when the door swings open and she's all scared at home. Mm. He could be there just like with a pizza box. And she's terrified because she thinks the killer's back, but then it's just Gary like, there with the pizza.
I just thought you wanted a snack. Like.
No, what if Gary brings the pizza and she's like, I know you're Ghostface. He's like, I'm not. I'm just bring. She goes, no, you're Ghostface. Pulls a gun out. He says, I'm not scared of guns.
Shoots him in the head.
Shoots him in the head into Gary.
He just falls straight back down the stairs with the pizza on top of him.
But that'd she be a eats good way the to pizza. Go. Power move.
How can she have the stomach for that? She's a psychopath. Geez. She can do that.
Yeah, that's
wipes
insane.
The blood off and just takes a bite.
Roger, you didn't watch this movie, but would you say movie torture or movie gold?
From listening to you guys, yeah, I would say movie torture. Yeah.
I'm going to say movie torture. Probably the third worst movie we've ever watched on movie.
Really?
Torture.
I actually like it was torture, but I actually enjoyed watching it. It didn't make me mad like some of the other bad movies have made me. It made me laugh. That's just stupidity, I guess.
I think it's right above TMNT. Like, it's not as bad as Batman and Robin. That still holds, which is an 11% of Rotten Tomatoes.
I disagree. Mm. There's been many worse than Batman and Robin.
There is no... We're going to get into the Batman and Robin debate again. Yeah. That is a terrible movie. There's nothing redeeming about that movie. It's horrible.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my gosh. For producer Gary. For first lady of the podcast, Hannah. For Roger and his blankie.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
And
wow,
for Freddy Cougar Mellencamp. I was born in Elm Street. My name is Brad. We'll see you next on Movie Torture.